Cosmophilia, you belong here. Your 2015 Planet Waves reading. I'm Eric Francis. I am very happy to be with you. And I have got some astrology for you. What I'm doing in the beginning part, my kind of point of entree into the 2015 reading, at least here in the audio portion, is talking about where here is as a means of assessing belonging here, since that is where we all belong. And I have to say, Libra kind of takes the cake for the wildest time in the zodiac. The cardinal signs, all of them are getting a lot of intensity, and that is, you know, a direct outgrowth of the Uranus-Pluto square that is coming through town in these years, 2012 to 2015, with a long warm-up on either side. And you are getting that probably in the most focused, intense, and powerful way because of the way that your sign is arranged within the solar system and how it picks up on the energy of that combination of Pluto, the unstoppable force, the evolutionary impulse moving through Capricorn in a very private part of your chart, and then Uranus, the kind of cosmic disruptor, the Promethean kind of like fire-breathing energy of revolt and invention, both revolt and invention. I mean inventions like the light bulb and the airplane, and revolt like toppling Richard Nixon, is moving through a sign in your chart, Aries, your relationship area, which is, along with Pluto, giving you everything that you wouldn't kind of say, oh, that's what I want. Oh, what can I get from astrology? I'll get that. Chances are you'd never say, oh, yeah, give me some Pluto in the fourth house, my security angle, the unstoppable force, the Shiva, the destroyer, coming through there, and then Uranus, this kind of chaotic entity, giving you anything but a perfectly smooth and stable ride. However, these are profoundly meaningful and useful transits that are actually giving you something that, though you may not have said the words, you may not have said, at least in astrology, oh, these are the transits that I want. I believe you have certainly said, this is the person that I want to be. And the astrology is saying, okay, this is how you get to be this person. So let's take these two transits one at a time. They come in at similar moments within about 2.5 or 3 years. And the story of what you are doing and experiencing now goes back to 2008, when Pluto changed signs from Sagittarius, where it had been since the mid-1990s, and entered Capricorn. A big deal. Pluto changes are always a big deal. They always get a lot of articles written about them in the Mountain Astrologer and different blogs and this kind of thing. And then the news kind of fades away, and the process that the transit represents can be forgotten, and definitely not a good thing to forget this one. Okay, so the fourth house in astrology is the house of your security base. It is the house of your grounding. It is sometimes referred to as the taproot. It tends to represent your father's family. It tends to represent your emotional environment as a child that became your emotional body as an adult. So there's a connection between what you experienced as a kid that also influences the third house, and then who you manifested, who you grew into in your current state. And you have the sign Capricorn there. And Capricorn is all about having that stability. Capricorn is the sign of things that form into a structure. It's the sign of, structures that distribute and apply authority. It is about physical structures. And it is kind of like it's kind of like the calcium shell that a clam or a crab or something has that presents a kind of an exoskeleton. Now, it's interesting that the sign of the crab is the opposite sign of that, Cancer, but they've got a lot in common, and that, I'm kind of drifting into homeopathy here for a second, but the remedies of the calcium group can reference security questions, grounding questions, safety questions in the childhood that surround the father. And so there was a real need to have structure in this way, and you may very well have had it. We don't necessarily know who. We all do a lot of improvising in our family lives at this time of history, and sometimes there really is a father, and sometimes there is someone who can stand in. And it looks like you got at least some of what you needed. And this has provided you with a foundation to stand on. Now, when Pluto makes a move and comes into your fourth house, first of all, there's going to be a kind of a security crisis. And when you have Pluto in Capricorn doing this, there can be a real shakeup. And it is as if the ground beneath you has not stood still. Things that you long took for granted, things that you assumed would never change, things that were always there at a certain point, probably sometime around 2008 or 9, started to move and shift and change. And you realized that this continent you were on was capable of shifting, drifting, having earthquakes, moving around. It was not a thing that was fixed in place. Nothing really is. And even mountain ranges move and grow and change, and those changes can be measured even over a period of years. And with Pluto moving through Capricorn, things can move a lot quicker, even in weeks and months, than you would ever expect them to move in years. And so this has compelled you to learn how to seek a kind of emotional and structural independence. In the process of doing so, it has set you free from those very structures that you depended on. Now, depending on who you are, this can be cataclysmic, because people who really absolutely depend on the structures that were there yesterday don't have a lot of interest in seeking the kind of emotional and physical independence that this transit is compelling you to have might not be very happy. And I think that pretty much for everyone experiencing this transit, it might seem like a mixed bag. And yet, the deeper story is that all of the changes that you're experiencing and the things that seem like kind of enforced growth are necessary. And getting to the bottom of something, getting underneath, really, in truth, getting underneath the foundation and seeing what even the foundation is resting on, because the foundation does rest on something, whether it's earth or bedrock or sand. It is stabilized against something. And this has given you the opportunity over and over again to question what your reality stands on and to go beyond the willingness to kind of have your life be either resting on some idea of the past, whatever that might manifest as, or to manifest to rest on an illusion of some kind. And often the past is an illusion. That could be an idea. That could be a concept of what you, you know, depended on. And then Pluto comes along and reveals that to be, you know, paper, basically. I had an experience once in my apartment when I was living in Belgium. From where I would travel quite a bit. Fortunately, when I would travel, I would bring my laptop and most of my camera gear with me. But anyway, I would travel for long periods of time back to the States and to other parts of Europe and would lock my door behind me. And one day, when I was staying at home in Brussels, I locked my keys in my apartment and had no way to get in. Would have had to call the landlord. And I didn't want to do that. And meanwhile, all I did was very gently leaned on my apartment door to see how strong it was. And just by leaning, and I only mean leaning with a few pounds of pressure, the door caved in and opened and kind of ripped off this pretend door frame that was really made of like pine molding. I exerted no force whatsoever. I merely gently leaned on it like you might lean on, you know, the wall at a, you know, at a concert hall and just kind of like lean back a little bit, and it popped open. And that is the kind of effect that Pluto can have on things that you thought were safe, solid, and dependable structures that gave you security. The image of Pluto coming through there is this demonstration that things were not necessarily so solid. All right. Let's move on to Uranus in Aries. 2011, Uranus changes signs from Pisces to Aries. It made its first foray in 2010, so just 2 years after Pluto changed signs, Uranus kind of made its experiment into Aries. Then in 2011, on March 11th, it took up residence firmly in Aries for the next 7 years. That is your relationship angle. Now, what is interesting about having Aries as your relationship angle is that Aries is a sign where we seek some grounding in our self-concept. Now, we've all heard that Libra is a sign that's associated with relationships, right? Aries is the sign of I am, and Libra is the sign of we are. And you've got that arrangement as the sign of we are is located in the house of I am, and the house of I am is located in the house of we are. It sounds like a walking, talking boundary issue. What it really is, though, is an image of the way in which you know relationship is important to you, meaningful to you, necessary to you, as a way of seeking self-awareness. And that structure that is built into your chart, it too basically experienced approximately the least Libran thing that you could want, which is that the planet Uranus, this disruptor, the mover and the shaker, the thief, the inventor, the meta-trickster, showed up in your relationship house and has basically been granting you anything but the ability to seek stability and identity in one relationship, unless you are really nimble and able to move with the full of surprises energy of Uranus, this really weird planet, the first planet discovered by science, a planet with unusual things associated with Venus, your ruling planet. You would think, well, there's not so many things that these two things could have in common, a terrestrial world close to the sun and a gas giant far from the sun, but they have unusual properties that make their orbits and their movements similar, despite, you know, having huge differences. And Uranus is saying, first of all, it's not really a good idea to build your identity in one relationship, just like it's not such a fabulous idea to build your house on something that is outmoded, something that is the past. And when the past starts to change and start to move, it's necessary for you to seek deeper roots and to move along with that. And so going deeper than seeking identity in one relationship or one concept of relationship, Uranus is saying, well, that's not really going to work that well, but there is something here that's interesting, which is see yourself as changing rather constantly. And the antithesis of the disruptive energy of Uranus in Aries is to seek connection through social networks, through groups, through an expansion of your idea of relationship into something where there might be a form of radical egalitarianism, a kind of equality spread out among a number of people that is not exactly the picture of a storybook romance, but where there is something facilitated that is not possible in a kind of a relationship that's boxed into, for example, one idea of what a relationship is, or one idea of who you are in a relationship, or one idea of who you and someone are to one another. So looked at one way, there's no way to really have anything vaguely normal. But looked at another way, there are highly unusual possibilities open, including the possibility of interesting people you may have never considered, many of whom you will meet not necessarily one-on-one, but quite possibly through a group environment of some kind, and through an experimental environment of some kind, and through some type of unusual activity. And so, coming from the emotional grounding angle of your chart, or from the relationship angle of your chart, both things that you have long depended on for a kind of consistency of experience, over the past 6 years, everything that can change has changed, as if every expectation you ever had had to be rethought. And this is liberation, basically. It's not exactly along the lines of Janis Joplin, freedom is another word for nothing left to lose, because you have maintained plenty, and there are very likely to be people who have been with you for a long time who are still there with you. But in terms of your expectations, in terms of your structures, in terms of what you consider to be normal, in terms of what you've taken for granted for long periods of time, all of that is changing. And it is changing in such a way that is assuring that you find real emotional grounding in yourself rather than in anything external to yourself, and that you know yourself in a deep and absolutely real way as a prerequisite to, you know, getting to know anyone else. Now, they kind of work in tandem together, but you are being bounced back on yourself over and over again. And this, basically, is the story of this time in your life. Now, if these transits were happening separately, you might say, well, they're not related. It's just a circumstantial kind of coincidence. But they're happening at the same time, and they are momentous transits on a global scale. They are changing the world. The Uranus-Pluto square and associated aspects are changing the world. And when these world-changing aspects come through a person's chart in a personal way, and having Libra rising or Libra sun, or even something like the moon or Saturn in Libra, is a personal invitation, but it's also something else. It is saying that you play a part in the changes of the world. You're not merely a recipient or a victim of circumstance, but rather you are being initiated and prepared, and your vibration is being raised, and the things that you might have held onto in the past that prevented you from being the person that you want to be, which is emotionally independent and someone whose identity does not depend upon another person. Now, I realize how crazy that can sound in this world where it seems like, you know, all you really have to depend on is some structure that there is, a company or the government or your family or something like that. And that, well, what better thing to do with a relationship than to invest your whole identity in the relationship, right? I mean, it's kind of the time we're in right now, right? But you're being shaken free of that. And this is something that has always been on tap for you. And that I think as this process develops and as it reaches kind of a break free point, which it's about to do in March, right as the sun goes through your seventh house of relationship, there is a new phase that begins where you get to kind of take this new personality structure out for a spin in a way that you never have before and see who you are in a completely new way. Now, one last thought about history and how it kind of focuses you now. The 2014 annual was called The Mars Effect, and if you listen to that, and you can, it's open and available to listen to, you may know that Mars made a long retrograde in your sign. It spent almost 8.5 months in Libra, and it made a retrograde for about 3.5 of those months, and that was pretty shocking. It is fortunate that a planet called Jupiter, of a large, absorbent, in fact, from an astronomical standpoint and an astrological standpoint, Jupiter serves as a kind of shock absorber, was present in this aspect pattern, and had what might have been a much harsher experience softened by the presence of Jupiter, but nonetheless really were compelled to ask some deep questions about yourself as Mars in Libra passed through your sign or your rising sign over a fairly long period between around December 5th or 6th, first week of December, and sometime in July, when Mars entered Scorpio. And so there were a lot of facets about that, but the one that I think is the most interesting is the relationship facet, where this phenomenon of projection that is so powerful in our relationships was fully and completely called on the carpet. That you were not able to persist in the kind of charade of projection any longer, and in all likelihood became very resistant to anyone projecting onto you. And this is a vital transition point for anyone born with the sign Libra, or for that matter Aries, to rise above that projection phenomenon that is rarely questioned. It is rarely questioned that we assume that others are the cause of our reality, and very often people see their most difficult personality traits in others and don't see them in themselves. And this, the word that was invented for this, I think it might have been Freud, who listed projection as one of the basic defense mechanisms. Well, it's quite popular, and it needs to be questioned. And so essentially, the here where you are is shorn of any tendencies and concepts of the past. And if those tendencies and concepts of the past exist, they are about as strong as that door in my apartment in Brussels, that all I had to do was lean on it. The only thing between me and the world, allegedly, right? All the riffraff and all the things that can go wrong, and all I did was give a little push and crunch, crackle, and pop, and that door was wide open. That's about how strong your defense mechanisms are at this point, and it is worth giving them a push and letting them collapse. And the question now is, okay, now that you're in this vulnerable, basically stripped down state, relieved of many things that have wasted a lot of your time in the past and have been the source of much questioning and hand-wringing, now what? Now what do you do with this kind of completely open state of potential, very close to childlike? I mean, the kind of cooking off of childhood karma is profound, and the sense of awe and wonder that you can coexist with in your relationships, the beauty that you can see in people that is the beauty of seeing something for the first time, is extremely powerful. And the ability to look at the world through young eyes, again, really, excuse me there. Motorcycle going by. You know, you're left in this place where basically anything is possible, and where it would be very wise for you to consider what you want to do that you couldn't do because of all the things that held you back. Because now it looks like those things have next to no ability to hold you back, but the only thing that might challenge you is some emotional or psychological connection to the past. All right. Let's see if I have any other thoughts to directly follow up on this story of the Uranus-Pluto square coming through your chart. Yeah, I think I'm going to pause at this point and take a little break, and then come back and talk about where all of this, where you might be headed, and what interesting arrivals in your sign. One of the most exciting things about 2015 is the arrival of two of the newly discovered planets in Libra. It's partly a big deal because anytime a slow-moving outer planet, and by that I do mean a planet orbiting the Earth, in this case two of them, changes signs, that's important. And anytime one of them enters your own sign, that's a big deal, because you get to be the primary recipient of it. And this is some pretty deep and ancient stuff that is arriving for you kind of as a gift, kind of as an inheritance from the very distant past. And I'll have more to say about that when I resume in part two. Catch you in a digital instant.